I want to talk to Pat Maddow and congratulate him on a really awesome and successful event called Bonfire on the Beach. Happened Saturday at Short Beach in Stratford. Hey, Pat.
Good morning. How's everyone doing?
Good.
Excellent.
I heard you raised record money Saturday.
We sure did. We had a great turnout between our sponsorships and the amount of people that came in and were willing to make the donation. It was our number one we've ever had.
The highest ever.
Highest ever, yep.
So high,
yep.
He hasn't even counted it all yet. He doesn't even know yet.
I got to take my socks off.
How did this all start? Didn't you have a bout with cancer?
I did. When I was 32 years old, I got diagnosed with brain cancer. While I'm on the table, I made some promises to the good Lord above, and here we are.
You did it. That's cool.
God bless you, man. Yeah. That's
God,
awesome.
You get me through this.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
I'll never stop raising money.
That's great.
You're the best.
You're the only one in history that's ever made a promise to God on an operating table and actually followed through. So thank you.
Remember Burt Reynolds at the end of one of those movies? He was like making a deal with God. Then he was like, oh, I'm sorry, God. I meant 30%. He was like renegotiating the God deal.
I know. It was a great event. The bands were amazing. You know, we had Shameless up there. Drive.
Here's some audio from Shameless.
I'm hearing them right down here.
Then this next clip. I defy you to hear a guy singing. It's all women. Yeah, you had a great lineup there. Like you said, Nashville Drive. You had these guys, Shameless, your band, Oddfellas.
Simple Jim kicked off the show, and we had record numbers from the very jump of the whole event, you know?
I love it.
It was just a great lineup, and everything just went so smooth, and everyone was just there about the love and supporting cancer patients, and there was no politics involved. That's what the important thing was.
Yeah, that's the thing. It was all about helping others.
Absolutely.
Great vibe, great music, right there on the beach, perfect night, bonfire's going, music's going, doesn't get any better. Slice of heaven. Pat, great job, man.
Yeah. Hey, thank you guys so much for all your support throughout the years. I appreciate you.
Thank you, brother. Pat Maddow, Oddfellas, organizer, and deal maker with God.
One of the best, man.
Love it. Love it. All right. Speaking of politics, let's get to some. This is different, though. New Haven began crushing ATVs and dirt bikes that have been confiscated by the city. The mayor of New Haven hopes to send a clear message to illegal operators who participate in street takeovers. North Haven First Selectman Mike Frieda was quoted in the story. Why did they quote you? Were you invited to the crushing?
Well, I've been involved with that for the past year or so. So, yes, I was invited. Yes.
Okay. And were there any ATVs or dirt bikes or whatever from North Haven crushed?
There were dirt bikes from surrounding areas, not necessarily North Haven. I participated in this Chaz and AJ because we're trying to send a message here. And our streets have really been very reckless down through the years, particularly in the past 2 years. I've been involved with a couple of street takeovers myself, and I didn't really like what I saw. People were yelled at, pointed at, intimidated. Senior citizens were very, very nervous. So we're taking a stand on this, and we're just not going to take it anymore.
I like that. I think you should like make a video of you with your head out the window of your mayor's office, First Selectman office. I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore. You hear
that
me?
That will be the network, exactly. That's the visual that we're trying to create here. We're fed up, disgusted, and we're not going to take it anymore.
What do you do, though? I mean, what do you do? You can't chase them, right?
No. So I'll give you an example. So when during a typical ATV street takeover, we know our police departments cannot just shut everybody down. But we're going to try to pick them off one by one. Even if we stop six or seven in a group of 300 or so, we're going to do it systematically and do it one by one and try to send this message. Now, listen, gentlemen, ordinances are going to be also memorialized in various cities and towns. And I'll give you an example in North Haven. The first offense is $1,000. The second offense is $1,500. The third offense is $2,000, and then they'll be confiscated, and then they'll be sent to a crushing facility. We're just not going to take it, and we're really fed up. I'm really serious about this. And
we're not going to.
I feel all kinds of videos you can make, and it'll go viral, and it'll get the message out there.
So, look, the fundamental responsibility of local government is to ensure its safety of our citizens, and our citizens don't feel safe. The streets are taken over. Traffic is at gridlock. People are nervous, and we're going to support our police department 1,000%. I support our police in North Haven. I lift weights with them. I work out with them. They know that I've got their backs in the streets. So they've got our backs in the streets, and I've got their backs at town hall. So this is what we're going to do. And by the way, it's a situation where it's bipartisan. It's bipartisan. Nobody cares who's a Republican and Democrat on this. We're all focused. All of the mayors in this area, first selectmen, we are focused on this, and all of us support it.
Is there a device that you can, like, shoot at the ATV and, like, turn its, just zap its electrical system?
I don't think we have that technology yet. But
wouldn't that be cool?
Also,
you should get in touch with Iron Man. Yeah. I think he might know how to do it.
Yeah, just boom.
Oh, you remember Iron Man. I like Iron Man. I know what you mean, yes. But look, this is being done for those recalcitrants who are trying to take over streets.
And what did you say?
Recalcitrants. I want you to look that word up.
No. Just tell me what it means. I don't even know how to spell it.
Those that go against authority, those that always are looking to do things that are wrong.
Wow, it should be like, that word should be right under the Chaz and AJ logo.
Yeah.
What is it? Recalcitrants?
I'll
do it.
With an R. Yeah.
Here we go. It's
recalcitrant.
Recalcitrant. That's
what?
The word.
Recalcitrant.
That's it. Recalcitrant.
Cola.
It's going to take me a day to learn. Recalcitrant?
Calcitrant
or calcitrant?
Cal.
Recal.
Yes.
Citrant.
Yeah. Citrant.
There we are.
Recalcitrant.
Now you have it.
That's the word of the day.
I'm waiting. He's going to shoehorn this in like 10 times tomorrow. He's like, I don't know. This dumbass news
tomorrow.
Recalcitrant.
I'm going to do it right now.
Recalcitrant.
Recalcitrant. Chaz and AJ in the morning. Recalcitrant City. We're talking to Mike Frieda, first selectman of North Haven.
Yes.
ATVs and the street takeovers.
But we're only doing this for those that are abusing the rules and regulations. If someone's on an ATV and they're minding their own business, they're in a trail, we're not going to go after them. It's those that are taking over the street, stopping traffic. And look, there's also been times when 911 calls can't be answered because there's such gridlock in traffic because of some of these takeovers.
Oh, man.
Recalcitrants.
Take a strong stance against recalcitrants. How's that?
Recalcitrants. AJ. Doing my best AJ here. All right, a couple other things while I have you here. The Pura head is stepping down or whatever. Does that matter? Does anyone care?
No, I think people care. I really do. It's been a very controversial subject. I've testified before Pura myself, and I know that I've actually been with the governor talking about this, and there's always been a thing. There's three commissioners now. I think the statute says you can have five. I wish Marissa the best of luck. I know her, but it became too controversial and too toxic, and I think that cooler heads have to prevail as we move forward.
But that's just an organization that buffers lawmakers from angry voters, right? Because they get to blame Pura.
Well, Well, that's part of it, I'm sure. But they do regulate rates, and that's where the controversies have come in, both with Eversource and United Illuminating. So, but they are a body that's memorialized by statute.
Would you say they're recalcitrants?
No, I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say recalcitrants for the body, but there's people that have different opinions. And we've got public utilities who are trying to lobby for higher rates because their message is we need to improve grid systems. We need to have a vegetation management. We need to restore wires during power outages. It's always a back and forth and a back and forth, and hopefully there'll be a compromise somewhere along the line.
All right. Cousins can't marry in Connecticut now. Is that right?
No, I haven't heard that one. Is that true? No.
What is it, Phil?
First cousins.
So second cousins, you're good to go.
Apparently.
First cousins. Oh. Did this get signed by the governor yet?
This is going into law in days. Yeah.
Is there a problem in North Haven with first cousins getting married?
No, I'll tell you a story, though. When I was about maybe 20 years old, my aunt asked my mother, and they said, you know, Donna and Mike would make a beautiful couple. They would look good together. But my mother said, no, you can't have cousins marry. And you can't have cousins marry. So we still talk about that, my cousin and I, when we get together, that my mother's wanted us to get married.
Really?
Oh, wow.
It was a big joke in our family, of course, a big joke.
You would be considered a recalcitrant.
Yes, very much so.
Well, you know, I tell you, though, gentlemen, I wasn't a recalcitrant when I wore that red dress back about 13 or 14 years ago at the Heart Walk.
You remember? It up.
That's right.
I love it.
I got to tell you, like, we would never get away with that today, but what a great event that was. And, boy, you definitely don't have the face for a dress.
I have the face for radio, though.
You are all man.
Well, thank you.
Whatever that means, I don't know. Don't get mad at me, okay? All right.
Oh, thank you for that. I appreciate it.
Let's go with this. Have you heard about this proposed bridge to Long Island?
You know, that's been spoken about for years, and yeah. I don't know if it's been finalized or not. I think it's in discussions, but it certainly cut out a lot of traffic, that's for sure. But yeah. I don't know structurally if it can be done.
Right. It would be a 14-mile bridge. Some builder in, like, Easton or whatever proposed it. Mm-hmm. Now, he builds a lot of things, and he's a, you know, well-recognized builder. But I wonder if he just threw it out there to kind of get some buzz or whatever, because we all know that would never happen.
No.
You're never going to get the environmental approvals to go just drop in
over the sound,
zillions
right.
of tons
it.
Of cement in Long Island Sound.
Absolutely
not going
to
happen.
Yeah.
Never.
It's a tease.
I agree.
Yeah.
Never going to happen. It sounds good. The concept sounds good, but it won't happen. I totally agree with you, gentlemen. Not
the problem with Long Island is if there's ever, you know, a horrible emergency there's only one way to get off, and you got a lot of, you know, millions of people there. It's a problem.
It's a huge problem.
Yeah.
Well, it was a nice segment on Pat there, the previous segment there. That's a nice story there, Chaz.
It's a great story.
Yeah. And, you know, ties into what you guys do very well on Christmas. And I'll give you guys a shout out because you do an awful lot. You help a lot of people. I appreciate it.
Thank you. AJ's out for the next few weeks because he's getting, I don't know if you heard, but he's got a blood cancer and the big chemo blasts begin today.
Oh, I didn't know that. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah.
He's done a remarkable job at staying positive and upbeat through his own trials and tribulations.
100%.
It's a miracle. I don't understand how he was able to do it. I agree.
And how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing fine. You know, I had that brain bleed back on April 9th, and I was able to make a fast comeback. You know, I stayed in top shape all these years, you know, 300-400 push-ups a day, lifting weights every
Damn.
Night, running wind sprints. So I was fortunate. But I'll tell you this, though. I remember what the doctor said to me. The human body cannot do, Mr. Frieda, what you've done down through the years. And I said, well, what's that? You cannot go 7 days a week, 12 to 15 hours a day with no vacations. You got to take some time off. And that's always been in the back of my mind now. But I'm doing fine, gentlemen. Thank you.
Good to hear.
Yeah.
Good to hear. And thanks for coming on.
Anytime.
All right.
Talk to you guys soon.
All right. Okay. North Haven First Selectman Mike Frieda. Rocco called in the show a while back and was talking about all the autographs he got, and we thought, you got to come back and talk a little bit more about it when we have time. He's on the show now. And so you basically stalked celebrities, but in a good way.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. It makes me get really, like, I get jitters as soon as I'm going to get an autograph.
Whoa.
Yeah, how old were you when you got your first autograph, and who was it from?
Jesus, I almost swore.
I heard that.
I started collecting with baseball players back in the 80s. I was 20 years old. That was 40 years I've been doing it.
Okay. Are you on a hands-free? Can we get a better phone signal here?
Yeah, if I put you in my ear, I can get arrested, but whatever. I guess I don't care. Hold on.
Should be better for you. Yeah, it's way better. It's better for all of us.
If a cop sees me, he's going to pull me over, and I'm done.
Okay, but you don't get arrested. You get a ticket.
Yeah, you going to pay for it?
Cross that bridge.
I don't know.
Well, you know, I'm easy. I'm real easy.
All right, we'll start with you passing the phone to the cop.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'll see if I could talk.
Forget the phone. I don't care.
Okay.
I've met Michael Jordan. I've met Jack Nicklaus. I've met Mickey Mantle, Willie Mays.
Oh,
I've met some of the best in all their sports.
That's insane.
You know?
That's crazy.
Yeah, one of
like
those.
Like I said, it just gives you a jitter. Like, right? I was standing in front of Sandy Koufax. He was signing at the Mets spring training facility, and this guy in front of me, he looks at me and goes, "Didn't I already sign an autograph for you?" And the guy, said, "Get out of line. Next." And he had already signed one for me, too. So I pulled my hat down over my head. I just shut up because I got a voice that you're going to recognize.
That's right.
Yep.
So I did say thank you to him the first time. I just stood there like a mute.
This call is part interesting and part inappropriate.
I said mute. What's wrong with you?
No. It's okay. We don't have to keep going on that.
It just sounded like you were communicating with wild animals. That's all.
Easy now.
I'm just teasing you, Rocco.
Good thing Chaz ain't there. I'd really be in trouble.
You mean AJ, but that's fine.
I mean it.
Chaz with a Z, sir. So,
well, you got me drinking and driving here, so, you know.
Okay, so anyway, you met Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, that was a good one. He was in town in Manhattan, and I forget what movie it was. It's got to be 20 years ago. I'm at his Planet Hollywood, and I said to my waitress, I was like, man, I'd really love to get Arnold's autograph. She's like, oh, no problem. He signs for everybody. 10 minutes later, the girl comes back to the table. She goes, I got bad news. I think Arnold's getting ready to leave. I grabbed the menu off the table and walked right up to him. And all of a sudden, he's got a crowd of 20 people around him. Of course, the guy can't move. Handed him the menu, said, Arnold, please, can I get an autograph? Walks to the front door, got to be at least 30, 40 feet. Gets ready to walk outside. I was like, yo, Arnold, just sit down, autograph. And he goes, oh, yeah, sure. And he passes it back to me.
Wow. That takes a little bit of balls, though, right? To step in. They're surrounded by 20 people, and you just step right in and say, can you sign this?
Yeah.
Well, not really. I mean, I taught my kids how to be more aggressive like that when they were younger, you know? My sons have all met people, you know, rock stars, movie stars, everything. And they're all shy in the beginning. It helps them break the bubble.
No. You know? I agree.
You mean for me just in general?
I didn't think this was going to be this hard. Yeah. No. I'm just saying you have to. There has to be an element. I think aggressive is the correct word. Because I think most people are like, oh, I don't want to bother him.
Leave him alone.
I've seen a lot of celebrities backstage at concerts and stuff. I'm like, I'm not going to bother them. I'm just happy to be here, you know? And you have to have that.
My buddy who's a drummer, he won't ask Jimmy Page for his autographs. You met Jimmy Page and didn't get an autograph? He goes, yeah, he walked right by me with his amp in his hand. I wasn't going to bother the poor guy. I don't consider it bothering. I understood, like, when Mark McGwire was in spring training and he used to moan and groan all the time. I can't even go to the gas station without getting bothered. Yeah, but you're making how many million dollars a year? You're getting compensated.
Right.
You need somebody to go fill up your car for gas. You want to go to a movie, buy the movie theater. Close it down. Don't cry. That's the way I look at that, at least, anyways.
Yeah, if you're out here and you're making money for being famous, then you're all mine.
But that's the exact...
You're fair game, at least.
Fair game.
That's a different mindset. that most people would have. That's exactly what Chaz was saying.
What what's the nicest and then the opposite celebrity you've encountered?
A couple of the ball players are phenomenal. Like Al Leiter used to pitch for the Marlins and the Yankees. His kid came up as a pitcher. And when he used to be with the Mets in Port St. Lucie spring training, that guy would sign every autograph for every person, sit in a chair at the end of the parking lot. And when he was done, he'd stand up and go, anybody else? Is that it? We done? And this guy said when he signed his first big contract, he signed something, signed a $35 million deal thing in the 90s. He says, you know what? My kids' kids' kids will never have to worry about money. That's a good human being.
That is good. That's a good one.
Yeah.
All right, how about the opposite of that?
My worst, well, two of them. Pete Rose was quite a piece of work.
Pete Rose.
That's a common story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But this is way back in the beginning when he was still playing.
Yeah.
As a manager. You know, just nasty, miserable, no nothing, you know, no interaction, just like miserable. The other one that pretty much made him look bad was, who's the pitcher for the Yankees? Whitey Ford.
Oh, really?
My son was 2 years old. You hear the stories about Whitey and Mickey and them drinking. Well, they're true. They got to be true. We met him in Jacksonville. One of them chip gas stations were giving away free autographs as part of an opening for one of their stores. My kid hands him a baseball. He rolls it off the table instead of handing it to my 2-year-old son. My kid stands there crying.
So what? Very nice. So he signed it and then rolled it off the table?
He signed the ball, and instead of handing it to my son, who's right there next to me in front of him, he rolled it off the table. Ooh. He expected a 2-year-old kid to just grab him. And I was, I didn't pay attention. So it's my fault, I guess.
And you met Ozzy Osbourne?
Oh, I've met Ozzy, yeah. That was it. The one time I met Ozzy was at Cutler's in New Haven.
Cutler's.
Yeah, how's that? Because I met Kiss there with
Jim. That was the record store, by the way.
Yeah, well, that was the spot. How can you go wrong?
Yeah, PLR did a lot of record signings with artists at Cutler's.
That's cool.
That's why I love Jim Compliment. Yeah, him and Shelly Finkel were the kings back in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
Everything went through those two guys. I used to work at Pinecrest for a little bit in 79. I stood right on the stage for Blondie and Meatloaf. I couldn't ask either one of them.
Yeah,
I was told, you're working, you can't get an autograph. I was like, yeah, I'll stand around the side of the stage and watch anyways.
So the Pinecrest Country Club was a place in Shelton where PLR would have its, quote, picnics. And they would call it a picnic, but it would be like multiple bands like the Outlaws or Charlie Daniels.
Mini-festival almost.
It was a mini-festival.
That's
exactly
cool.
Exactly right. Yeah. Over the years, I became the house DJ over there, and it was just a great place to see concerts.
It was a lot of fun. Yeah. They let us open up and have fun, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I like that they're paying Rocco to be there. He's like, all right, I won't ask for an autograph, but I'll stand here and watch.
It's like, right on the stage, because I even had the stage manager, one of the stage managers, say, you can't stand. I said, what do you mean? I'm in charge of the food. If I'm not here, who's going to eat? I'm okay. I'm not bothering anybody. We'll ask Roberto.
Of all of your signatures, which do you think is the most, I don't know, valuable or like your...
That means the most to me?
Yeah, that means the most to you.
Probably my Randy Rhoads on a front row ticket from the first year with him and Ozzy.
Wow.
That's pretty good.
Wow. And I got that from one of my boys. We used to all sleep out at the Coliseum back in the early 80s. That's what we did for money, hustling.
That's right.
And they used to go to the hotel there, 2, 3, 4 in the morning, and we used to call it going shopping, you know? They drop off the pastries, they drop off bread, they drop off this and that, and we'd go shopping.
That's funny.
So, yeah, and I guess they ran into Randy Rhoads, and they had their front row tickets, and Randy autographed the 10F row 1, seat 7, front row center.
Holy crap. Nice.
How's that?
All right, Rocco.
And of course, we didn't whip them.
Right. Thank you.
Bless you.
All right, if you had a celebrity encounter or got an autograph, 203-882-9757. Doc on the road.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey.
As always, love the show. I've worked in radio. I've met many people just like you guys have.
Oh, where'd you work? Which station?
WHUS, and I still work at WXCI. It's college radio. We get a little more freedom.
Oh, you get a lot more freedom.
Yep.
But we don't get paid
pay.
For it. So.
Not less pay.
We don't get paid for
but
it.
More
though.
Freedom.
But no money in it, you know? No money in it. But that's okay. We love to do what we do.
That's right. This is how it all starts.
Exactly. Well, I'm 45, so I don't think anything's going to change.
Well, what a fun hobby.
It's a fun hobby. I'll take my pharmacist job. It pays a little better.
There you go.
Yeah.
But one way or another, I mean, after having met Ozzy, met a lot of different people. Arnold as well. I know you.
All right, go back to Ozzy. How did you meet Ozzy, and what was that like?
Actually, that was kind of interesting. My buddy had, he was head of security for Ozfest years ago, and at the Hartford show, I was walking and I had, you know, full press pass, and I was walking into, like, the meal room, and the door opens up, and Sharon hits me with the door, and Ozzy's right behind her, and she just apologized. She was really kind about it, and it was a quick, you know, interaction, no autograph. You know, I'm kind of that person, too. I don't need an autograph from somebody or anything like that. And that's really all it was. I just said, you know, thank you, and kept it simple, let him go on his way. And you know, it was middle of the afternoon. I figured he probably needed a nap to sober up. I'm not really sure. But one way or another, it was just a quick interaction. But the one that I called about was actually having to meet the Canadian Crippler.
Chris Benoit. Yeah,
Chris Benoit, yeah. So I was working for WHUS up at UConn at that point in time. And I was offered an opportunity because I knew someone who worked at the Hartford Civic Center. They were having like a media promotional event in like the executive offices, and they invited me. Me not, you know, knowing that how professional it was going to be, I show up in a death metal T-shirt and shorts, while everyone's in a shirt and tie. And Chris Benoit just comes up to me and he's like, I like your style. I'm like, well, I like yours, man. And he was pretty short. We're not the biggest wrestler in the world, but at that point in time, really nice guy, happily signed something for me. You know, unbeknownst to me, a couple of years later, he'd not be around and ended up in a tragic situation. But it was, it was just...
Remind me what the tragic situation was. Was that the one in the ring?
No,
that was the one where he went off the wall because of whatever concussions he's had and steroid use, where he ended up killing his family and himself.
Oh,
that was like 2008.
Okay, I remember this.
And this was around 2003 when I met him, so... or maybe 2002, somewhere around there. And it was a while back, but... Yeah, it was a pretty interesting situation, but, you know, I would never have thought that kind of situation would have arisen having had met him.
Right.
But I will say, you know, I still have it. I have it framed at my house, and he just wrote, you know, to Paul, my real name is Paul, but to Paul, prove me wrong, Chris Benoit. And been trying to do that every single day since.
That's cool. Cool.
Yeah,
great story.
It's just an interesting story, just because... You know, not many people talk about him anymore because he's been kind of exiled from the WWE. At this point in time, it was the WWF. And, you know, being in, based out of Stamford, Hartford wasn't a big, you know, deal for them. And I guess he just happened to be in the area because I think he was more from the Carolinas when
he was living.
Happened.
He was living in Atlanta, Georgia at the time. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. I mean, granted, he was from Canada, but yeah, he was living down south somewhere. So,
Doc, thank you.
Yeah.
Man.
I figured I'd just chip in on that one.
Cool. Thank you for the story.
Hey, thank you.
All right. You too. Nelson, New Milford.
Hey, morning.
Hey.
Yeah, so when I was in high school, Shia LaBeouf did his He Will Not Divide Us rally right across the street from where I was in Queens.
Oh, wow.
And at first, everyone was there. It was big. Shia LaBeouf, Jaden Smith was there. Eventually, it died out little by little. And at that time, my first girlfriend broke up with me from my best friend, so I was there all the time.
Oh,
eventually it became really cool where he's like, you know, it was just like a couple of us, and he'd be like, hey, man, you want to go to Starbucks? Here's my number, you know, take it down. It was really chill, eventually, before it got shut down and everything by the police.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Do you still have his number?
I do. I tried to text him, but I guess he changed it, so it is what it is.
That was,
years ago, so it changed.
He's one that depends on the day. I've heard wild swings where he's like a cool dude or he's like an insane psychopath.
Yeah.
Oh, no. At first, he was very cool. Then they had the bunch, I guess, like those trollers, neo-Nazi guys come in.
Oof.
And that's when they shut it down. That's when he got arrested eventually, too, because I guess one of the people got in his face. He pushed them. So it was pretty crazy.
Nelson, thanks for checking in.
Yep. Thank you.
Wow.
Pat in Guilford's very noisy. Hey, Pat.
Hold on. Let me take you off my earphone. Sorry, guys.
Thank you.
Is that better?
Yes, much. Thank you.
All right. So growing up down in Nashville for the wrestling team, we actually had a fundraiser where we had to sell Domino's pizza, buy one, get one free coupon books. So I hopped on my bike and I rode all around the neighborhood, got to one house. And it was Goober from the Andy Griffith Show. And he said that he didn't eat pizza a lot of the time, but he was willing to go into his house and get a headshot. And he autographed it for me right on the spot.
Oh, that's great.
Whoa.
Goober, does anyone remember the Andy Griffith Show?
And he immediately put it in the safe.
In the safe?
Wow.
Whoa.
He said that that was a keeper.
Well, yeah, Goober. So the Andy Griffin Show, the mechanic was Gomer Pyle.
Yeah.
And then they spun him off. And did his own show, and then Goober replaced him.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. That's a keeper.
That's winning the contest, and even the coach said that winning the contest didn't compare to the headshot that I got autographed.
Well, Ron Howard was in that show as a child.
Yeah.
He is probably the only child actor who got through it without a crazy...
Yeah.
Right.
Most successful, for sure.
All right, thank you, man. Appreciate it.
You got it. Have a
Goober
great day.
Went Goober. Into the safe.
That's a keeper.
Bobby in the car.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, thanks.
So I used to work at Viacom down in 1515 Broadway in New York City as a corporate security. And one time a person came in. I was at the front podium making calls upstairs where people would come in and ask to see corporate officers and stuff. So guy came in, we had this group, this anti-corporate group that we always were on the lookout for. So this guy walked in looking like a scrub, had jean shorts on, had work boots on, a t-shirt, a backpack, and a hat on backwards. And he goes, hey, I'm here to see the CEO for MTV. And I'm like, yeah, okay, sure. So I call the secretary and I go, I have somebody here to see, you know, the CEO. I said, what's your name? He goes, Garth. I go, oh, there's a Mr. Garth here. The secretary with a serious voice goes, you can send Mr. Brooks up. So I turned red, of course, and she goes, and actually, you can escort him up the elevator, please.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to extend the awkwardness for you.
In the elevator, apologize to him, and I'm like, dude, sorry. I go, you look like one of these people that try to get up here and harass the CEOs up here.
Oh. One of these people.
Oof. Garth friggin' Brooks. Yeah, and that's when he was the hottest country star on the planet.
Yeah.
Yes, and I didn't recognize him. I felt stupid.
Okay, I'm going to make you feel better right now.
Uh-oh.
Okay, it's like late 80s, New Haven Coliseum, Kiss concert. I'm backstage. I got this pass that Sam T described as like having a big S on your chest. It's all access. I can go anywhere I wanted.
You want to go in the bathroom while Gene's in there? You go in there.
Right.
So it comes time to talk to the production manager who's in this tiny little closet backstage in New Haven Coliseum about when I'm going to go up on stage and do an announcement. This is back when you could smoke in the New Haven Coliseum. So I'm having a cigarette backstage, and I'm leaning in the door, and I'm talking to the business manager who's like going through the night, and this is how it's going to work. This is when you're going to go up. This is how much time you're going to have. And I feel someone grabs my hand and pulls my hand with the cigarette out of the office, and I look, and it's this scraggly-looking homeless guy, and I'm like, who the frick? And I know what he means. He's like, drop the cigarette.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I dropped the cigarette, and he puts it out. And this is, I was just getting into radio, so my ego was a little unbalanced. And I thought to myself, this guy obviously doesn't know who I am. I have an S on my chest. Okay? I have all access pass. The business manager puts his hand over the phone that he was holding while he was talking to me, and he goes, Gene, do you want her to fly in White Plains or wherever? And I turn around, I'm like, it's Gene Simmons!
Was this before Lick It Up, so you didn't know what their faces
now,
looked like?
Now, I don't have that excuse.
Damn, all right. I was trying to help, man.
Yeah, it was Gene friggin' Simmons. Yeah.
Sometimes if people are out of character, you don't recognize him. Probably without his face mask. His mask. You know,
he didn't have any of that. Right. He looked really old. He looked like he just woke up he looked like he woke up in a garbage can.
Right.
Like those platform boots really changed something, man.
Right.
Oh, yeah, and he's small. Yeah, I'm sure he's much smaller in person.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, yeah.
So thought I'd make you feel better.
That's my story. So thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it. I just want to say, love and prayers to AJ too this week. So
yeah,
absolutely.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
Thanks for everything you guys do.
Thank you. You too. Yeah, I talked to him last night. You know, he's got some anxiety, but you know how he is. He can handle anything that comes his way. And he gets his first major chemo blast today. So I'll talk to him tonight. Jennifer hands me the phone. She's like, oh, do you want to say like anything to AJ? I'm like, yeah, he's not going to the space station. I'm going to talk to him tomorrow. I made him laugh. So, all right, Freddie.
Yeah, I got a good Stephanie McMahon story.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I was with a bunch of my friends one day in New York City, and when they used to have the WWE restaurant, and a limo pulls up, so we see Stephanie McMahon get out. So we go, that's Stephanie McMahon. This was like prime Stephanie McMahon. And she gets out, so we go up to her. We go, can we get a picture with you? So she goes, just go in this door, so I don't want a bunch of people to try and get pictures. So, but her security guard didn't hear her tell us that. So we started walking in the door. The security guard snatches my friend. And she goes, no. I told them, come in, you know, take a picture. So make a long story short, we went inside. We took a picture with her, and she couldn't have been nicer. She was like, it was a great picture, you know, not like one of these awkward pictures you get. It was like she was hanging out with us all night, and that's how it looked.
You still have the picture?
I do. Yeah. I do.
Nice.
I would, too.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah. It was like 10 guys and her. Right. She was just hanging out. It was awesome.
All right. Thank you, man.
Yep. No problem.
It's good. I love hearing the stories where they were cool.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They were just great.
You want to meet me? Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, you want to take a picture with me? Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. One more. Kate in West Haven.
Good morning, fellas.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good.
I met Tony Bennett.
Holy crap.
I lived in Cape Cod for 5 years, and we moved back to Connecticut, and I want to say it was probably around 2006, because my youngest was probably about a year old, and we were up for the weekend, and he always played the last show at the Cape Cod Melody Tent. And the Cape Cod Melody Tent is like our old Oakdale was.
Okay.
In the round. And he was staying as the Hyatt right by the tent. So he was within walking distance. And we were driving down Main Street in Hyannis. And we were going down around the Rotary by the paddock. And we drove past him originally. And I told my husband at the time, I was just like, turn around. You got to turn around. And he's like, why? I'm like, because it's Tony Bennett. And he's like, okay. So he turned around and I grabbed a piece of paper and a pen out of my pocket. And I jumped out of the vehicle and I'm like, Mr. Bennett. And he stopped. And I'm like, I don't mean to bother you. I said, I just wanted to say hello and that I have loved your music since I was little. And he looked at me and he goes, since you were little? I was like, yeah. And he goes, I'm like, dude, you're an icon. I said, I grew up in my grandma's kitchen listening to you and Sammy and Frankie and, you know, and he's like, you don't know what it means to me to have someone your age tell me that I'm like, I'm a legend, that I'm an icon. And he was
wow.
Like the most down to earth,
love that,
sweetest grandpa like human being. I told him I loved his art, his paintings, and he goes, "Would you like an autograph?" And I'm like, "If you don't mind." And he's just like, "Oh, absolutely." So he signed the paper, and I still have it. I laminated it when I got home.
Oh, yeah.
Laminated.
That's great.
He told me, he's like, "This is a nice pen." I said, "You can keep it." He's like, I have enough pens. But he and his manager, Bob, who had been his manager for, like, ever, stood there for, like, 15 minutes and talked to me. And he's like, "Can I give you a hug?" And I just melted into a puddle of, I don't know. And I'm like, absolutely. And it was like hugging my granddad.
Yeah, that warm feeling.
Wow. It was like the best.
And what a special
encounter. How many people did it take to pull you off of him?
Yeah. No. It was myself and Tony and his manager, Bob. And we were out on the street in Hyannis. And the roundabout, and I was just like, I'm like, "All right, I'm going to let you go because I know you." He was like, "Are you coming to the show tonight?" I'm like, "No, you sold out again." Big surprise. And I said, "Maybe I'll catch you next year." And he's like, "I'll look forward to seeing you."
Wow.
And what a nice
he could
show.
Have said, "Well, let me right. give you a couple yeah. tickets." But that's okay.
Well, my husband's grandmother was very, very jealous. When she ever heard that I met Tony Bennett, she was just like, "Did he hug you? Let me hug you."
Yeah, I want some of that DNA on me.
But
holy
oddly
crap.
Enough, it was like 6 months later, he was on like Sally, Jesse, Raphael or some talk show. And my son, my oldest boy, he was probably about 4 years old at the time. He comes in, grabs my phone, goes into the living room, snaps a picture with my phone and goes, "Mommy, Mr. Bendit is on the phone, on the TV, Mr. Bendit." And I'm like, I couldn't figure out who he's talking about. And he goes, "Mommy, come." And he grabbed my hand and he goes, "Look, it's Mr. Bendit." Mr. Bendit. It was the cutest thing. And he still remembers. He's going to be 24. He still remembers.
And that doesn't go away, Mr. Bendit.
No.
Mr. Bendit.
Mr. Bendit. Great story, Kate. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. It's cool to hear that. Yeah. I'm not surprised with Tony Bennett. I've seen a number of interviews with him, and he just comes off as like the warmest human
to everybody.
My mom was actually fortunate enough. She got to go see him and Lady Gaga at the Oakdale.
Oh, man.
And she said it was amazing. She's just like, when I heard it was Lady Gaga, she goes, I don't know who that person is, but I'm going to go see it because Tony Bennett. And she said it was just one of the most amazing, beautiful shows she had ever been to in her life.
Wow. Very cool.
And she said she would pay to see it over and over and over and over again.
Wow.
And I was just like, well, you could pay for me to go see it.
How about that?
Well, Kate, thanks for the story.
Great story.
Yeah. All right, Kate from West Haven.
Great day, guys.
All right, so Ruth was like, it was like Christmas for Ruth over the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
CT Horror Fest was happening, and Ruth went. Who did you meet?
I met lots of fun people. A lot of people, they get so into it. They have costumes. So talked to a bunch of people, and I met a new friend. Her name is Valerie.
What's your name and where are you from?
They call me Lady Valtronic, and I'm from New York City.
Lady Valtronic. Love it. And you're a wrestling fan. I see you have a wrestling championship belt, and you got that signed today by Kurt Angle.
Yes.
Tell me about that. How was that?
Oh, my God. He was fantastic and super sexy. And, oh, my God, just I had my stomach in knots all morning thinking about, oh, my God, Kurt. And as soon as I showed up to the arena, I was like, oh, God. Went fangirl all over him, and he went in two really bad B-rate horror movies, but they were absolutely hilarious. You have to watch it if you haven't. Smoke some Zaza, and watch Pro Wrestlers versus Zombies. It is amazing.
Pro Wrestlers versus Zombies.
I've been a fan of the WWE, proud member since 1992, and I never saw that movie until last night.
Are there any other wrestlers in it too?
Yeah. And I forget who they are.
Okay. You can look it up on IMDb.
I'm a fake fan. I'm so sorry.
You're definitely not a fake fan. You've got a replica WWE championship belt signed by Kurt Angle, who Booker T.
Ricochet, yeah. Tyler Bates, Johnny Ciampa, Johnny Wrestling, and LA Knight.
All right. Well, one more thing you want to say to Kurt Angle. single. Say it now.
Oh my God, I love you. You're a free pass.
He's your free pass.
Yes, he is. But don't worry, wifey. I love you. I respect you. I just want you guys to come to my restaurant and eat the best pizza in the world for free in Brooklyn underneath the Brooklyn Bridge.
What's the name of your restaurant?
Ignazio's.
Ignazio's. Okay, next time I'm in Brooklyn, I'm going to stop by.
Thank you.
And we'll watch Pro Wrestlers versus Zombies.
I'll bring the hubby, and so things won't be weird. No worries. And I won't be there if you don't want me to be there, but free pizza on me. I have a fabulous restaurant underneath the Brooklyn Bridge on the Brooklyn side. Bring the cast and crew. Everything's free.
All right, we will. Bye.
Wow. She's what you call a yapper.
She's a yapper. Wow.
And Kurt Angle has to put up with that about 1,000 times a day every time he does an autograph
signing. Yeah, can you imagine?
She was going to go back and harass him some more, she said. God.